Well, coming up this weekend, there are going to be several events in Chapel Hill and around campus in celebration of the re-release of a 1986 book, a seminal book about the UNC campus and its history, and specifically the history of the architecture. The book is The Campus at Chapel Hill. It is by John Alcott. It was first released in 1986, covering 225 years of campus architecture. It's been re-released and updated. It's a beautiful new version that's available now, and events again happening all over campus this weekend to commemorate the re-release of the book. And we are joined in the studio by Eleanor Alcott Griffith, who is John Alcott's daughter. She is in town to take part in several of these events over the course of the weekend, and really excited to have her here in the studio today to talk about the book. Eleanor, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I am so glad to be back in Chapel Hill. You know, there's something so special about coming back here and the sense of community that exists. It doesn't exist all over this country, unfortunately. But I was just thinking about how some of my childhood friends are actually the people who were involved in this book and have helped make it possible. People like Sarah Geer, the president of the Chapel Hill Historical Society. They were the good folks who published this book initially, and now, you know, are involved the light behind republishing it.
Yeah.
So it's fun to see how intergenerationally all these things connect.
And it's such a gorgeous book. I had a chance to read it recently. It's very short. You get through it very quickly, and it's so comprehensive. It covers really the entire history of UNC and by extension Chapel Hill, just in terms of just by telling it through the lens of architecture and the design of the buildings and the design of the roads and the streets on campus and downtown. And it's a terrific book from an architectural perspective. I am not an architecture guy at all, but I was fascinated just by the stories of the history of the buildings and the way that they came to be and the purposes that they were used for at different times. Historic Playmakers Theater, for instance, which starts as a ballroom, gets added in as a library, and then it just kind of shapes and grows over the course of time and history. And just that story and all of the stories that are similar just tell a great history.
The Playmakers certainly is one of my favorite stories. Alexander Jackson Davis, one of my dad's favorite architects, was behind it all. And the students had petitioned a couple of times to try to get this in place.
And as a ballroom,
A ballroom in the 1830s. And you've got to remember, again, the context of the time. There were no women on campus, basically, as students. So they desperately wanted to have some social events and be like some of the other schools. And I was just amazed when they finally got this ballroom in place. And the only way that that really happened was because the faculty intervened and they said, let's add some bookcases around the wall. And that sort of gave it the imprimatur of being wonderful.
Make it a library and a dance hall all at the same time, which is a great combination.
But in the book, for instance, I was just thinking about this. It says, the building was completed in time for the commencement ball of 1852 and served for subsequent balls until 1985, when dancing was forbidden at the university, and balls were transferred to a new gym just off campus,
yeah.
So, you know, it's so interesting. And again, within my lifetime also, women could not go to Carolina. They would transfer in unless you were in nursing or education. So this book is much more than just a dry compendium of facts about different buildings and the like. It really recreates the history of the times.
Yeah.
And, you know, I even thinking about the first building, Old East, and which was completed in 1793, and John Pettigrew, who was writing about it. And can I just quote a little
bit?
Go
for it, yeah.
Because it's such fun. So the students had all these regulations, and they were only, at that time, there were only about 50-some. And he said, the students shall decently attend prayers every morning and evening. Morning prayers at sunrise, from prayers to breakfast shall be study hours. And then he details the schedule of study, recreation, prayers until 8 p.m., when all the students shall retire to their respective lodgings and not leave them. And then it goes on, Pettigrew's words, cursing and swearing is carrying on here to the greatest perfection. The small boys make the greatest proficiency of the art of swearing.
The more things change, the more they stay the same, right?
Exactly.
Speaking with Eleanor Alcott Griffith, we're talking about this book, The Campus at Chapel Hill, 225 Years of Architecture, published by John Alcott, who, if you know UNC, you know that name already, published back in 1986, re-released and updated this year in 2019. So really, really cool book now just out. And we've been talking about specific details of the book. Tell me about the book. How did it come to be in the first place?
Well, my father was, it's hard for me sort of to believe this, but he started the art department at the University of North Carolina. He always loved, and he taught art and architecture as well as studio art. And he just always found the campus itself made a great way to study what was going on. And it really is a great laboratory. So he would actually take his students back in the day outside. They would sit under trees. He would talk about what was going on. But this, the reimagining of this book came about because I'd been talking to a high school friend, Missy Julian Fox, and she was director of the UNC Visitors Bureau at that point, and also on the board of the Historical Society. And she said, just in passing, we're talking about something else, and she said, "You know, your dad's book, there's nothing quite like it, and I practically have to chain a copy to my desk because otherwise it would just walk off. There are no other editions, no other copies of it out there." So by happenstance, another family friend. So do you get the family friend of
yes,
the community
yeah.
thing?
Is that coming I also through? Like the serendipity of it all. Like
oh
how this
gosh.
How this book that we're sitting here looking at comes to being. It's just one random conversation after another.
Yeah. Well, this wonderful man, Carl Anderson, who's a biochemist, retired biochemist, and his parents were good friends of my parents, and he had been working. He was at the Historical Society doing some volunteering. He'd been working on a biosketch of my father, and after that was over, I said, you know, the wheels started to churn, and I said, Missy Julian Julian Fox was saying, you know, it would really be great if there were some more of these books around, and Carl thought it was an intriguing idea, and he really is the one who then took it to the other board members at the Historical Society, got them on board. And my background's in publishing, and I think a record time is he's managed to pull this off in 2 years, basically, from that germination again. It's got a fabulous addendum by J.J. Bauer of the art department, and she's the one who really brings the sweep of history and the buildings up to today. So she's got the handshake going with, you know, contemporary people who weren't around when it was first published. And they're wonderful books, they're wonderful buildings, like the Alumni Center or that Sonia Stone
Center. Yeah.
Center. And you see how, again, there's so much that's interesting in the background of these places. I was intrigued just to mention a word or two on it. But when they were conceiving, and this is something that J.J. goes into, one of 10 or so new buildings, the words that really they wanted to have resonate within that building, African-centric words. And so they came up with this list of words like 3,000 years, Black presence, African-American pride, celebratory, a sacred shrine, reverent, inviting, interesting, welcoming, people who see buildings and want to go inside, integrated, part on campus, warm, on and on. But they've captured that through architecture in the most incredible way with, for instance, that auditorium that's shaped like a drum.
Yeah.
Anyway, there are more details in the book itself, and it's just sort of fun to dip into what you see on the surface and get a deeper sense of it.
It's such a great book. There's original drawings and sketches by John Alcott as well, which I love looking at.
He, he was obviously an art professor but probably, and loved the campus incredibly and wrote books and all of that, but probably he was best known as a bread baker and sketch giver because he loved people and he loved having an excuse to interact. So today, if he were meeting with you, he would have brought you some of his friendship bread and a sketch or two.
Now, did he call it friendship bread?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
And I'm sorry, I didn't bring you anything, Aaron. Maybe next time.
You brought me you. This is conversation.
But what was really so cool about, you know, seeing this play out over the years, and I think he probably baked and gave away over 1,000 loaves of bread, and all at home. And I used to do this with him as a kid.
That's awesome.
So incredible. And Jim Hirschfeld, who was head of the art department a couple of years ago, said, John was known for teaching courses in the quad, baking hundreds of loaves of bread for random distribution, and sketching everything he saw, only to give his drawings away. And he said his warm presence became the artistic iteration of the Carolina Way. Mm. And I love reconnecting with that. I bake bread now myself and do some of the same things, because we need to relate warmer and closer with each other and find ways that we can come together. And this book is, for me, is sort of a reminder of how he managed to do that, and is really in his daily life.
Speaking with Eleanor Alcott Griffith. So that is the book, that is the story, and UNC is celebrating the re-release of the book, the updated book, with events on campus. So what's happening this weekend?
Well, this weekend, the first event up is 6 p.m. at the art department.
Tonight.
Yep. Haynes. So Friday night, we're the 20th. And that's 6 to 8 p.m. And J.J. Bauer, who's, again, wrote the wonderful addendum, is going to be talking and presenting some of her material, I'm told, which will be terrific. Mm-hmm. She's also giving a campus tour tomorrow morning, starting at 10 o'clock. I'm told it's sold out, but if somebody's interested, they should definitely get in touch with J.J. because she plans to do a number of these tours coming
awesome.
Up. And she's doing speaking events, so if anybody wants to have her as a speaker, I think she would be interested in that. And then Sunday, the 22nd, 3 p.m., Chapel Hill Library, we're going to do a panel discussion, talk about the background of the book. I feel like I've sort of raced through some of this, and it's going to be more detail with great funny stories and insights into this incredibly beautiful campus. In fact, the most beautiful campus in the country, according to my dad.
And you'll be there. Missy Julian Fox will be there as well. It's going to be a really, really cool panel on Sunday. So as we wrap up this conversation, anything else that people need to know about the book? Any favorite stories you haven't shared yet?
Well, there are always favorite stories. For me, I keep coming back to how wonderful it was to have a dad who was a university professor. Mm-hmm. I thought all people grew up this way, and that all kids came back and found a father. My mother was working at that point at the university, found a father in the kitchen often baking bread, because he would do this about twice a week. And so that's where I really learned as a 12-year-old, pushing up my sleeves and getting involved. And it's a great way to cook in the kitchen, to talk and get out what's on your mind and what's going on. And I've captured some of that actually in a book that I've written called The Virtues of Cooking.
Nice.
And that talks about Chapel Hill in the early days and my mother as well as my father and how inspirational they were and continue to be for us Alcotts and hopefully for other people too.
Again, the book is called The Campus at Chapel Hill, 225 Years of Architecture, first published 1986, now re-released for 2019 and updated. John Alcott, the author, tonight, 6 p.m., you can head to the Haynes Art Center on campus for a book launch party. Campus architecture tour tomorrow morning. More info on that at art.unc.edu, and you can go there for more information on the book too. And then Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m., panel discussion about the book at the Chapel Hill Public Library. Eleanor Alcott Griffith, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, I've loved every moment of it, Aaron. Thank you for including us. And let's hear it for the Historical Society. What incredible work they do, really, to bridge that campus town gown connection. You know, it's really very, very special. Very appreciative. Thank you.